Is there anything you'd like to draw my attention to? Something that we haven't talked about, puzzles, you know, predicaments, anomalies.
Well, you gave me this question in advance, a couple minutes in advance, so I had a chance to think about it. It's something like this, that if you look at the confluence of very slow disclosure of governments about UFO activity, and I mix in what I know about psychic phenomena and the science underneath that, I guess it suggests that our understanding of reality, and that's with a big R, our understanding of reality at some point will go through a very major shift in order to accommodate the whole range of UFO kinds of phenomena and psychic phenomena, which I think are deeply related in some way. When that shift occurs, the big, big conceptual shifts like this don't happen overnight. But you can almost see inklings of them reaching, like tendrils reaching from the future that are beginning to be detected at this point. It may be, for example, that if precognition is what we think it is, that is our present time reception of future events, that what we're feeling, some people are feeling, a lot of my psychic friends certainly report things like this, that there's something reaching to us from the future, which is big. It's really big. What big means in this context is something, I think that means there's a major change in how we view ourselves and our place in the universe and all that. The outstanding and important question is, well, how far in the future is that? And that I don't know.
You mentioned in our prior conversation that you felt, and I'm using that kind of language, you felt that there was something close enough to perhaps create the conditions for a tipping point. Have I got that right?
Yes, yeah. So I was referring in that case to a relatively minor effect in the grand scheme, but nevertheless something that could be one of those tipping points that can flip the academic world from this will damage your career to, oh, that's yet another interesting thing to study. Part of it is publications in mainstream journals on these topics that are slowly beginning to show up. More importantly is this specific one published by a colleague named Daryl Bem, who created a retrocausal experiment based on a very simple and well-understood series of social psychology tests, except that they're reversed in time. And so he did 9 experiments involving 1,000 subjects, mostly undergraduates, and ended up getting a very repeatable, robust effect with overall odds somewhere around 100 million to 1, all of which strongly suggests that our current decision-making and preferences, that kind of activity, is influenced by what is about to occur. And of course, in social psychology, most of the effort, in fact, all of the effort to date, has been how your environment influences your decisions. So that's cause and effect. But what Daryl did is simply reverse that sequence to show that what we do now, what we decide now, is actually influenced by what's about to happen. And so this may be a tipping point because it is so easy to do. Probably most people, most social psychologists anyway, who are doing these experiments could easily just flip the stimulus sequence and they would be able to replicate this without any fancy equipment. And if that, in fact, is the case, and I'm hoping that when this paper is published imminently, that people will be stimulated to go ahead and try to replicate this. And if enough people do that, it will finesse the objections of the past, because it will be seen as a repeatable and reliable effect. And once that happens, most scientists will be willing to dive into it and figure out what in the world is going on. And that all by itself can take what has been a handful of people in the world pushing against these problems, and almost overnight, almost literally overnight, the paper appears in the journal and suddenly the next day, thousands of academic psychologists suddenly get a new idea. Well, that could lead to establishment of a retrocausal effect. Well, that would be interesting. That would be a kind of a tipping point. And that could be one of the tendrils that I feel only vaguely reaching to us that is pulling us into a new way of understanding who and what we are.
Dean Radin is a senior scientist at the Institute of Noetic Sciences. If you enjoyed this conversation, there will be others in the program series. Log on every now and again to appropriate-entertainment.com, and you'll also find other links of interest as well as this program. I'm Don Hill, and thank you for listening to Ahead in the Cloud.